Coming up on TMS, how did jury duty go?
Gotta catch them all.
Disney got smoked in 2015.
London people can sky swim.
What the hell is that? Stewart to moderate?
Trump got a lot less funny this week.
Yeah, he did. Fitness geek.
Jury duty.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
McDonald's hot food cooking. Hand warming. Hot, 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 hot. Big Mac, quarter pounder, chicken McNuggets, fries.
With Scott and Brian and a caveman.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream, TMS for short. It is Monday, what is it, August 25th, 2015. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Abbott. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Scott Johnson.
Hello. It's good to be back here on the show. We didn't have a show, and it's not Monday, it's Tuesday. Sorry. Tuesday,
everybody.
Did you say
Monday?
Yeah, I did.
It slipped right by me, too. I didn't even catch it.
Well, it's because we had no show yesterday.
I know. Feels like, you know, the first time that we get together every week should be a Monday.
Yeah.
Right? I'm used to it.
I completely agree.
We have a couple days off, a little weekend, and then we start talking to each other. And I assume that when we start talking to each other again, it's Monday. It should be.
It should be Monday, but it's not. It's Tuesday. And because of a very important civic duty, it wasn't show yesterday. So let's get right to it. Before we get to that.
Yes.
Just real quick, I mentioned it pre-show. I'm going to mention it one more time. One of you chuckleheads, because this is the only show I've said this on, thought it would be real funny when I mentioned during one of our mentions of the Ashley Madison hacking incident, thought it would be a real hoot if you went and signed it, because one of the things we said on the air was, oh man, not only is this hack bad, but they don't the site doesn't actually verify email addresses. So you could sign up any old anybody. And they would be signed up. I mean, not, you know, they wouldn't have a credit card on there or whatever, but you'd have them signed up on the service without having to make sure that you are who you say you are. And somebody out there listening to the show went and signed me up for it. So now I'm getting junk mail from Ashley Madison saying, your profile needs to be finished before you can have your first affair. Come get a steamy zibby zabby dooby da. And I'm like, what? What the crap? So one of you did it.
Hold on, I gotta go to your Urban Dictionary and look up Zibby Zabby Doody Bah.
I don't know if it's there yet. It'll be up later today. But, I mean, I should know that when we say these things, people do stuff. So, we mentioned on the show that somebody should edit my IMDb profile.
Right.
And they did. Like, immediately. It's my name replacing Steven Seagal's, but Steven Seagal's text.
Bio, which is great, you know.
Yeah.
Boyish, good looks, and handsome, with a ponytail, born to... Mr. and Mrs. Seagal in upstate Florida or something like that.
So I am definitely, here's what I'm not going to do anymore on the show. I'm not going to talk about anything dubious like Ashley Madison wherein we could be targeted. In fact, I'm surprised it was just me and not both of us. So if you start getting some junk mail,
here's the thing. I'm fully committed to my second banana status on this show.
Right.
Totally accepted it, fully behind it, and I'm fine with that.
Right.
It means I don't get the nudie pictures texted to me, but it also means that I don't get put onto Ashley Madison. So while there are drawbacks.
Oh, trust me. Some of the nudie pictures that people have sent me,
I don't want to see them.
You don't want those. Some of those. I'm just saying. There's been four total in my podcasting career where fans have sent me naked selfies. Okay.
Sure.
There was only one that I would go, whoa, that person's sort of attractive. The rest of them were like, oh, no offense.
Oh, now you've got four people all wondering, was I the one?
Yeah.
Was I one of the...
Yeah. Even the attractive ones wondering what's going on now.
Right.
So anyway, it's been an interesting weekend. I started getting those. I'm like, what the hell is happening? Oh, and that means two things. One, I'm not part of that. I'm not part of the hack. Thank goodness. I'm not part of the 65 million and I'm one of the poor fakers in there. So I'm part of a new batch that may one day be hacked. But I don't have anything. I mean, what are they going to do? The only thing, you know what? I shouldn't give them any more ideas. Never mind. Just forget I said anything. Don't go make a profile. Don't do anything.
Now is the time to polish up that divorce court degree or that divorce lawyer degree, right?
I mean, oh yeah, they're having a heyday, man.
They are. This is like
divorce lawyers are
low hanging fruit,
big time. Anyway, you heard who the did we talk about it on the show? I don't think we did, but one of the big names that got found out,
Duggar guy, right?
Yeah, the Duggar guy that was already in big trouble.
Josh Duggar. We talked about that on Thursday PM, I think.
Did we bring it up? We must have.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have skipped that. That's something we'd say.
No, that's exciting stuff.
All right, so forget about all that. None of that matters. What matters to me is at the hardcore murder trial that you were set to be a jury member of. How did it go?
So let me quickly just tell you about this whole our judicial process, All right. So they give you this summons in the mail. Comes with a little thing, little juror, thing like that you hold up. It basically says, all right, you called the business day before. We're going to announce a range of numbers. If your juror number falls within that range of numbers, you need to show up and you need to be there. You know, the everything starts at 8:00, but because parking is difficult and, you know, you might run out of time, whatever, try and get there between 7:30 and 7:45. It's like, all right, cool. Do my duty. Drive out there, get there about 7:35. And their parking lot is such a pain in the ass. I mean, it's the Jefferson County Courthouse, which is nicknamed the Taj Mahal. It's this really beautiful domed golden building in Golden, coincidentally. And it's a really, really nice building. Beautiful architecture, big windows, really open. Mm-hmm. But whoever spent all that time designing the place spent 90% of their time working on the building and 10% of their time working on this confusing maze of a parking lot that has like a roundabout and lines don't quite match up. So if you're trying to go through, you have to kind of jog a little bit this way to go from one lane to the other. It's a pain in the butt. So get parked, walk into the courthouse, go through the little metal detector, and then go into this holding room, the jury holding room, big, not really an auditorium. I mean, it's a big old room with, rows and rows and rows of these chairs.
Yeah.
And at the front of this room,
never heard of this, by the way, like a holding tank for the,
basically a holding tank.
All right.
And at the front of this room, there's a podium, and behind the podium is a TV on the wall. And under the TV is a shelf with a VCR and about six video cassettes sitting on it.
What? I am. My brain is moving ahead, and I don't want to yet. Keep explaining.
So sit there and wait, and then 8:00 comes, and the TV just starts up. Like it's almost like it's on a like there was somebody secretly in another room with a video camera watching all of us and said, okay, they're all seated, and they start a video on the thing. Nobody walked up to the VCR, nobody did anything. I think this is
some remote
the VCR
thing?
Is purely for archival purposes, and no one's just bothered to disconnect the VCR and take those six video cassettes down.
Oh, so you're saying, I mean, this thing may have been fed from somewhere else, is what you're saying.
It was definitely fed from somewhere else, yeah.
All right.
It was a big
gray screen with a giant face didn't come on and go, your previous life is over.
No.
Okay.
No. Right. However, there was a video recorded, you know, being a juror is the proper way to celebrate the democracy of the fine country we live in, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And they go through the process and say, what's going to happen here is you're going to be called up to, in groups to go up to, courtrooms where they're going to ask you questions. You're going to get picked from a group of 22 down to probably six. The rest of you can go home and those six will watch a trial. And it's a very important thing to be part of these trials because it celebrates the democracy of the fine country that we live in. They kind of made sure to drill that point home.
Of course.
And they kept saying things like, we understand that there's things you'd rather be doing. And like, it's almost like they peppered that into every sentence. Like, you know, we know that you have very important lives and your time is valuable, but we appreciate you doing this. And,
sure.
But they kept bringing it up.
Yeah.
And then later on they say, and make sure that, you know, you can't tweet or post on Facebook or Instagram. It's funny. It's like they went through every app, although they never mentioned podcasting. They never said, please don't podcast. the details of
they the, really mentioned podcasting?
No, but they mentioned like Foursquare and Twitter and Instagram. Oh, I mean, this thing was fairly up to date. Yeah. They didn't have no Meerkat or Periscope in there, so that shows you about where they're at. But
that's funny. They're trying to keep up with all the new social media standards. Do not put this on your subreddit. That's
Do not
amazing.
Snapchat content from the trial.
That's great.
So the video finishes up and said, now your jury commissioner will come in to go over the next steps with you and end video. And all this, by the way, all this was done by local, recorded with former local newscaster, anchorman, Ed Sardella, who's
I like that name.
A fixture in Denver, Denver News. Mm.
Ed so, Sardella. It sounds like an anchor
Ed
to me.
Ed Sardella, yeah. Totally. And now the news with Ed Sardella.
Yeah, I like it.
So the video ends, and we all kind of look around, and there's nobody stepping up to the podium, and we kind of wait a minute, and then we kind of all start pulling out our smartphones back out and our tablets, going back to what we were doing beforehand.
Wow.
And about 20, 30 minutes later, someone finally comes in from the other room and goes up to the podium. Two people, one of them's a judge, and she says, oh, I want to thank you. I know that there's places you'd much rather be and things you'd much rather be doing, and I know that... You know, ha ha ha, I'm sure that when you received the jury summons, you stood, you know, jumping up in the air, cheering in your driveway. So blah, blah, blah.
Wow.
Like again,
so
you know,
so upfront, apologetic for the system. That's
exactly
so interesting.
Like basically, we're really sorry that, you know, America has a democracy and that everyone's entitled to a fair trial, but ha ha, you're here.
Right. Jeez.
So she kind of goes over and says, so, you know, basically kind of reiterates what the end of the video said. You're going to be called up to courtrooms in groups of 22, and they're going to pare you down to groups of six. Mm-hmm. And then she says, and you know, you can't do anything on your phones or tablets or laptop. You can do whatever you want in here as far as, you know, using the Wi-Fi and while you're waiting, you know, catch up on email or get on Facebook. But once you go into the courtrooms, you'll need to turn your cell phones off. Mm. And a guy in the front row goes, why? Like this lunkhead, you know, he's got this, he's wearing the jeans that are kind of pulled down, partially down his ass, and he's, you know, got one earbud in his ear. He's apparently listening to something while he's paying attention to this, and he goes, why?
Why?
And
you're excused, they say.
Exactly. He's in the front row, and everybody behind him is, there's this kind of chuckle, this wave of chuckle that kind of goes down the audience like, okay, sure, if you need to ask. Mm. And so the judge says, well, because, you know, we can't have any distractions going on in the courtroom. So, you know, you have to have your phone off or in airplane mode.
It seems like a thing you wouldn't have to explain to
you
somebody.
You shouldn't have to ask why. Yeah. I mean, you know, when you go see a movie, do you ask why to the screen when it says, please silence your cell phones?
Please don't stand naked in front of the building. Why?
Please look both ways before you cross the busy street.
How come? What an idiot. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard, but all right.
So she explains it, and then I kind of watch him, and he kind of shakes his head, no, like, God, this sucks.
Yeah,
I
real, yeah. What an oppressive society you live in when they expect a little decorum in a legal proceeding.
I have to get back to my busy job of being an accountant at a major financial firm.
Right.
So the judge leaves, and the jury commissioner comes up and kind of again reiterates the whole thing. And says, okay, I'll be back in about, you know, we've got 22 cases on the docket today. We think that all but about six or seven of them, that only about six or seven of those will actually go to trial. So, you know, a lot of you guys won't have to do anything today. You'll get dismissed, but I'll come back in. And as soon as we have a final count and we know how many people we're going to need, and we can start grouping you up.
Did you say how many were there? How many are in the holding tank?
There's about 200 people in this room.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's pretty full. It's a good-sized room. And
even in that many people, Anarchy Dude had to speak up and ask why about it. Right. Oh, my gosh. Exactly. Just send him. You're dismissed. Go back to your Payless shoe store restocking job and stay the hell out of our way is what I would say to that kid.
Right. So, she disappears, and she says, I'll be back in about 20, 30 minutes, and we'll get everything situated. 20 minutes goes by, 30 minutes goes by, 45 minutes, an hour and a half goes by, and then finally she comes back.
All right.
And again, it's like, I'm running out of stuff to do on my phone. I've caught up with all my Capitals games. I've responded to all my emails. I did bring my iPad, but I didn't bring my laptop. I actually could have been getting some freelance work done.
Sure.
But, you know, I'm getting to the point where I've run out of things to do on my smartphone.
And how long are you there again?
Hour and a half at this point. Oh, so a total of about 2 hours sitting in this chair.
All right.
That sucks. She comes back in and says, well, I have some good news. Looks like all of the cases have settled out of court, so you're dismissed. And there's a big cheer. Everybody gets up and runs out into the parking lot where two people promptly got in a car accident pulling up. Two jurors.
Are you kidding me? That's amazing.
It's like I'm walking to my car and I hear this screech.
Oh, that's amazing.
Two people in this confusing maze of a parking lot that managed to crash into each other. So I go, there's a group of other jurors kind of around me as we're walking on. I said, all right, everybody back into the jury room.
That's incredible, dude. Wow. That blows my mind. And they were actually, both of them were jurors?
Both of them were jurors. Like they were, they got out of their cars and were kind of looking at each other, looking at their cars and stuff like, oh yeah, I remember one of those people. I was really hoping one of them would be Y Dude.
Yeah, Y Dude would have been the, I was just going to ask, was it Y Dude?
It would have been great if it would have been Y Dude.
He drove his longboard there. He wasn't even in a car probably.
Right. So now everybody has an even more difficult time of getting out of this parking lot because only one entrance is open now because the other one is blocked by these two bozos who couldn't wait to get out of there.
Wow. That's amazing. I was hoping you'd have some stories, and the thing is, I knew I kind of had a notion that there was a high percentage you'd be dismissed. I just thought, well, hardly anyone I ever know goes to trial,
right?
And then I thought, well, that'll be boring. Brian will sit in a thing, he'll wait, they'll say go home, and then that'll be the end of it. But no, you had Y Guy and idiot even, people. That's amazing.
Even when nothing happens, there's still a story to tell.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you did your civic duty because otherwise, we wouldn't have had this great tale to tell.
Yeah. So Colorado, or at least Jefferson County statute says that I can't be called in for jury duty for at least another year. So, so
we're in the clear.
My civic duty for the next 12 months.
I can tell you that when I got called and then forgot in 1990, whatever it was, mm-hmm. I've never been requested for duty again. So I don't know if that means something. I don't know if it just means I've been lucky.
He just got taken out of the system. Oh, he's a no-show.
Could be. I wonder if they do that, I wonder. I don't know why I said I wonder twice. But anyway. good. Well, I'm glad you're back and everything's well and everything's good. Real quick, did you hear about that Pokemon Championship attempted thing?
I saw something about a gun ring or something that was related to that. What's the deal?
Here's the skinny, or the scony, as I was about to say. It was in Boston. It was the Pokemon World Championship. So it was like a big competitive, like, esport thing. Big, giant event in a big, huge venue. I'm not sure which venue it was. I think it's where the Lakers or the Celtics play. Not sure. Okay. Anyway, some couple of dudes got sniffed out via social networking to find out that they were up to something. And FBI swooped in and stopped them. They had an AR-15, a big Bernelli shotgun, a ton of ammo.
Oh, my God.
Some explosive devices all loaded up in their car on their way to go shoot up this place.
Jeez.
Yeah. So all we hear about is, like, the aftermath of terrible shootings.
Mm-hmm.
But this one could have been real bad. Like, real bad. That's a high concentration of kids. Like the Pokemon Championship
is
like
that would have been horrible.
Bunch of children and stuff. Anyway,
and it was sussed out via social media.
Yeah. So the word is, and I don't have the article now in front of me, and I meant to put the link here, and I don't know why I didn't. But there was something about these guys were sort of a little bit boastful with a couple of friends on Facebook or Twitter, and some of this stuff seemed a little fishy, and so somebody had told the FBI that I'm not sure, probably wouldn't do it, but maybe he will, and. They followed up and just kind of followed these guys all right up to the point where they felt like they had enough to go on to make the bust. And sure enough, there's some pictures of the guns and stuff. And, you know, it's all bad. And apparently, B4 Tank Girl reminds me, they took photos of the guns and ammo that these idiots did.
Jeez.
So thank goodness dumb people were doing this one.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, geez Louise. And I don't know if that was like, motive-wise, we don't know. Oh, here it is. Here's an article. Thank you, another J. Martin. Boston Police Foil Massacre, Boston Pokemon World Championship. Let's see. Stumbo, age 27, and Norton, age 18, are charged with unlawful possession of several firearms, unlawful possession of ammunition. Both men are being held without bail pending dangerous hearing or dangerousness hearing on September 1st. They caught them because of threats of violence made over social media. It's 250 rounds of ammunition, an AR-15 rifle, shotgun, and a hunting knife. The moderator was a security community. I think the whole idea is, see, you know, look at those guys. The one guy looks like a nice little innocent boy.
I know. Yeah, totally.
Great. Anyway, they were going to go to shoot the place up, and they got stopped. Good job, guys. We don't know the motives yet. My guess is...
this guy says that he got banned from the group for bullying somebody, so...
Oh, well, then this is the way to deal with it, you jackass.
Yeah, exactly. Thank God they caught him, but I imagine at whatever event this is, especially if it's where the Celtics play, they've got to have metal detectors on the way in.
You'd think.
But still, you know.
Yeah, you'd hope that would catch whatever. Mm-hmm. Do they have... I guess they would at big sporting places like that, especially in big mm-hmm. cities, right?
Yeah.
Like you guys still. Do for like, if you go to a Denver, if you go to Broncos game, do you have to go mm-hmm. through metal
detectors? Yeah, we go through metal detectors. Coors Field, Invesco Field, both have them.
So do they suss out your phone? Do you have to show your phone or?
You've got to take it out. Pepsi Center does too. You basically have to take out phone and keys, put them in a thing to the side of the metal detector and then go through. That's about all you have to take. You don't have to do your shoes and your belt like you do at the airport.
But, I haven't been to a Jazz game in so long. I don't even know if they do that now.
Yeah, I imagine that it's everywhere now.
Well, speaking of things that are everywhere, Advanced Education Week for the both of us, both Carter and Tristan, starting college this week. Did he start today?
Right. He starts today, yeah. He was heading out there this morning and couldn't be prouder of the kid.
Yeah, is he driving? Is he bussing? What's he doing?
He's driving. He's, he's had his own car here for a while, and that's his job now is delivering subs for Silvermine Subs in Arvada. So
that's right.
So he drives all over. He puts in more miles than I do these days.
Well, that's great. He starts today. Carter started yesterday. She takes the track. You know, the tracks are public transit hoo-ha. The final stop on it is right here where we live, like just up the street. A bit.
Oh, see, you gotta love that. And it goes right downtown.
Straight to the university. Just parks right in front of it. So she goes down there in the morning, comes back. Well, today she's coming back in the afternoon early and then has a late night. She has this class. Check this out. She has a film class up at the U that is, this semester, I guess, is 1952 films. I know that sounds weird, but they apparently, the various these film classes, they cover like a huge... like a decade's worth of films. They watch them. The class is 3 hours long. They watch a 2-hour film, and then they do an hour of like, let's figure this movie out. Let's decide what they were trying to say here. What impact did this have on cinema? Blah, 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 blah. Like some super nerdy, like deep film thing. And they'll go, she'll go from the 52 to 63 or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And then they go from the 63 to the late 70s. And like they do this like big film study thing in this class. But she's there from like 7 to 10.
Oh, wow.
Which kind of sucks. But she'll get back on the train and get home by 11 or something.
See, actually, I kind of like that. When I went to Institute of Art, there was the classes were, you had one class per day. It was 5 days. And it was always either 7:30 to 11:30 or 12:30 to 4:30.
Yeah.
And you had one class per day. So yep. Mondays were always... art history, Tuesdays were always graphic design, et cetera. Yeah. And I'd much rather have one class that's 4 hours long and allows me, you know, because basically they would teach for about an hour, 2 hours of that. And then you'd have the other 2 hours to work on whatever projects you had going on in either that class or your other classes.
Right.
I didn't mind that one bit.
Yeah, me neither. So today she's doing that because she has some work to get done here. So she's going to come back, then go back. But normally she'll just stay out there and mm-hmm. fill the day with whatever, but
yeah.
Anyway, grats to the to the progeny of the Ibbots and the Johnsons as they continue their education and one day retire us. We hope.
Right.
What now? Daryl time.
Daryl time.
All right. Sure. Fine. I mean, if you really want him on, that's fine.
I really want to.
Okay. Let's get him in here. Let's see here. How do we do this? I've forgotten everything. It's only been a day. Here we go. How about this? It's Stump a Trek Nerd, brought to you by
DamnGoodGlutenFree.etsy.com. Congratulates Brian on a perfect week last week, and we're sorry Etsy doesn't let us change percentages on coupons. Therefore, until August 31st, the code TMS20 will get you those sweet, sweet cookies for 20% off.
It's a good deal, dude, and those cookies are good.
They are good.
Have you gotten your cookies yet? Has he sent
no.
them?
No. He did ask me which ones I wanted, and I said, oh, the lemonade ones I think were my favorites.
Yeah, it was really good. Daryl Skeels, are you there? Hello? I see he's answered.
Oh, yes.
Oh, hi. There you are.
Hello.
Can you hear us?
Am I here?
Yeah, you're there super, super, very laggy. Are you laggy? I think he's laggy. Oh, I'm going to re-add him. Okay. That didn't go well.
Trusty Daryl.
Trusty Daryl time. We just got a bad connection on that one. We'll give it another try.
What?
And see if he's there.
What?
Hey, he's saying that season 4 doesn't have this anymore.
What?
Hey, Daryl.
What?
Oh, really?
Oh, you're much better now.
Oh, yay.
Yeah,
season 4 of MASH doesn't have the what?
Doesn't have
anymore?
What?
What? No, it only had the what was only there on season 1.
Oh, that, and it's so the, yeah.
That guy's still
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that's still there.
Yeah.
So, you're going to notice like I did that about season 5 and forward, there's either no laugh track at all on episodes that definitely used to have them, or there's the laugh track but it's broken. It's like ahead of the jokes. This happened to me, and that's I was wondering why the Netflix reviews were so low, and I started reading them. They're like, yeah, what happened to later seasons? They're all just like a mishmash of either no laugh track, or if the laugh track's there, it's not working. So, like, Hawkeye hasn't even said anything yet, and they'll go, and then he'll say something. It's real weird and janky. They had some strange transfer problems. So, anyway, look forward to that as you get there. But season 4 is still a fine season, I think. I think you don't have a problem until you get to 5. Daryl's here. He's the Trek nerd. He comes on the show, answers hard trivia questions about Star Trek. Man, I feel like I'm not talking right today. You ever have one of those nights? There's been bad allergies here, and there's been smoke from all those damn Idaho fires.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Blowing into town. And you ever, like, because your nose is so stuffed up, you sleep all night with your mouth just going like that. And then you wake up. Well, you don't because you're wearing your Vader thing.
Darth Vader mask, yeah.
But I wake up this morning having breathed through my mouth all night because my nose was so stopped up from the allergies. And my mouth was so dry. It was like a desert hole. It was like the freaking Sarlacc pit. And now I just feel like nothing in there is working right. Like my tongue doesn't work right. Like everything's just too dry. And I've been horking down water all morning and it doesn't seem to make any damn difference. Anyway, big trouble in Little China. Daryl, let's get to your question. Star Trek question is a clip question, Kirsten. Oh, let's play the mashup first. I guess there's a mashup.
Oh, yeah, cool.
So here you go. Here's that. Did he ever find his Shankara stones? Did anyone bring back to us the stones? Yeah, by the way, your pants are bigger. You keeping Shankara stones in your pants, or what's going on over there? You never hear that one, do you? Is that a Shankara stone in your pants, or are you just happy to see me? Not very commonly heard.
I came downstairs and I was making a chocolate cake for the kids. I had the flour in there and some roofies and some milk and some eggs.
Some roofies. I like that he would just slip it in and no one noticed. I don't know what's happening. Now it's live.
What? Huh?
We're
what?
Back now.
This what? Is, are we? What? Are we really back now?
This what? Daryl did a couple of what's that actually threw me off. What? If I hadn't seen the thing stop playing, I would have thought that was actually playing.
What?
All right. There's your mashup. Playing. It just sounds like us talking, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah. Okay, we're back now. Really?
We're back. This is actually us.
Yeah, we're here. It's freaking Inception, man.
It really is weird. And he pulls them from. It's like he just plays a conversation.
Right. And now he's gonna play. Now he's gonna record that little bit of me saying, "Now is it really? Are we really back?" It's. Mm-hmm. It's just gonna keep.
We'll have to mark this with a serial number or something.
I know. That's why, at least with Freakish Lemon, we got the music in the background. When the music was over, you knew the mashup was over.
Yeah. Hey, you knew you were done. Where is Freakish Lemon? What's going on with you?
I know.
We miss you. You had a magic touch.
Come back.
Daryl, here's your clip.
You do this every day?
No, Commander. Usually my calisthenics are more intense. Those sessions are too personal to be shared.
I'll bet they are.
All right.
I love it when this happens.
What? When happens?
You know what our next episode is on This Week in Trek?
Oh, is it this one?
This one?
Yeah.
No way. Yeah. Amazing. All right, well, let's find out if Daryl knows. It's your options for that clip are these episodes. A, The Child. B, Loud as a Whisper. C, Contagion. Or D, Where Silence Has Lease. Those are your options. I have a feeling you know exactly what it is. Yeah. We don't have food to test because Scott still hasn't gotten his Oreos. I don't know what's taking so long. They should be here today. Hopefully. But in the meantime, Daryl,
hey,
tell us about today in Star Trek history.
Ah, yes. Only 1 year ago, but way back in 2014, the documentary William Shatner Presents Chaos on the Bridge is released for the first time by the Canadian version of HBO. And now you can see it on Vimeo for $8.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, Vimeo has... You pay on Vimeo? I didn't know you could do that. I thought Vimeo was just like, here's some videos, watch
them. I didn't so know too. Either.
Huh. Is that true of... I guess assume they have other original programming and things you can only get that way?
Oh, I guess they must.
Yeah. Who knows? Hold on. I got a text from Justin. Oh, he's good.
I'm on a plane!
Bill's out. He's in a car picking people up for... He's got visitors coming. So he says, sorry for the last second. I'm in a car. I can't... Anyway. What are we doing? Oh, yeah. Good job, Daryl, for the history there. That was good. And go over to Vimeo and pay $8 for a thing you shouldn't pay for. That's great. Daryl?
Yeah, well, I'm going to wait.
Yeah, you should wait. What was I going to say to you? Oh, for everybody I told last week that Fury Road was coming out last weekend, that is not true. It's coming out on the 1st. So that's when you want to get it on Blu-ray. Okay? You can get it digitally now on all the little digital rental / buy services. But if you want Blu-ray or DVD... you're out of luck until the 1st. All right. Back to your question. You obviously know what this is, don't you? Out of The Child, Loud as a Whisper, Contagion, or Where Silence Has Lease. Go ahead and entertain us with some fake deliberations before you choose.
Okay. I didn't write any of these down, because why would I? And I always wondered what this title meant. Where Silence Has Lease?
Mm-hmm.
Do you rent silence?
Sure.
Isn't it free?
Well, let's think about that. If
you lease it.
Well, if you were if let's say you're a mob informant, you could be paid off to keep your silence, right? There's some silence for lease. Isn't that the idea of the episode? Probably is. Right?
I don't know. I never really connected it to anything in the episode.
Lease. Let's
I don't
the
think
word.
It makes any sense.
Let's look up the word lease. A lease silence is a... Lease.
That's a phrase that, you know, existed long before that Star Trek episode.
Well, it says here, a lease is a contractual arrangement calling for the lease... or leasee, the user, to pay the leasor, the owner, for use of an asset.
There was none of that in this episode.
No, there wasn't any of that. I didn't think I mentioned it. Asset, tangible property, something, something. Yeah, I don't know.
Trying to find the origination of the phrase. Yeah. Like if it came from a book or...
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Leasehold interest, the terminator, soon near my date, negotiate forfeiture. Da, da, da. Yeah, I can't find
everything. Oh. Every Google result is the Star Trek reference.
Star Trek.
Nothing before it. Yeah.
That's funny. I mean, I found definitions of the word, but I can't find origin. It's weird. I find sublease and its origin, but it goes back to lease. Yeah. Who knows? Hmm. Hey, whatever, man. Oh, here it is.
I don't know.
Of the lease. Oh, history of leases of land over the centuries.
There we go. Captain Kipper helps out. The title's taken from a line of the Robert Service poem, The Spell of the Yukon.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
And we just keep using it? There's a lucky poem.
Yeah,
what's it even mean?
I think it's, let's see here. Let's find it here. Right. Wand of the Golden, I saw it. I'm going to find the reference.
Okay.
Where silence has lease, you know, I should just do a find. This is a damn long poem. This ain't no limerick.
Mm-mm.
Jeez.
I once knew a man from Greece who was behind in paying his lease.
Here we go. There's gold and it's haunting and hunting. It's luring me on as of old. Yet it isn't the gold that I'm wanting so much as just finding the gold. It's the great big broad land way up yonder. It's the forest where silence has lease. It's the beauty that thrills me with wonder. It's the stillness that fills me with peace.
So wait, he just made up a word and we just started using it? That's how that works.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, basically, you know, the forest where silence has... It's poetic justice. You can do that. The forests where silence has least. So basically, it just means where, you know, where you pay for you pay for the silence by going to some place where it's that remote, right? Where, you know, you don't get silence in the city, so your payment for that silence is to travel outside of...
Okay.
I guess that does make sense within this episode.
Oh, does it? Well, that must be... If that's where this is from, if it's from a poem, that where the silence has lease, or at least it's a riff on that poem, then that would make sense. But if it's got something to do with, you know, my apartment's lease is up in 6 months, I don't think there's a connection there.
Besides, you know, you're going to talk about words that that authors make up and kind of they stay in the vernacular we continue using. Let's talk about nerdtacular and a word, the nerd from Dr. Seuss, who invented the word nerd.
He did?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Explain that. What, it was in one of his things? Which one of his things was it in? I didn't know this. Let's see here. This is great.
Let me find it here.
Here's my reaction to your news. Here you go. There you go.
It's the name of a creature in If I Ran the Zoo.
Oh, wow. And people just...
What year was that?
Yeah.
1950.
Okay, that must be before the candy then.
Yes, the Gerald McGrew claims that he would collect a Nurkle, a Nerd, and a Seersucker too for his imaginary zoo.
According to Google, it says it's an unknown origin, but I think yours is the right one.
Yeah. The first documented appearance was in Dr. Seuss's If I Ran the Zoo.
Etymology, preemptive term or descriptive term used often pejoratively, indicating a person's overly intellectual, obsessive, or lacking social skills. Okay, I don't care about any of that. The first documented appearance of the word. You're right. Wow. That's awesome. I mean, it may not be the first time it was used, but it was the first time it was ever written and documented, which is good enough for me.
Good enough for me.
Good job, Dr. Seuss.
There you go. Dr. Seuss gave us about... Nerdtacular comes to us by way of Dr. Seuss.
Oh, man. What if it would have been like... Well, it's another word, green eggs and ham-tacular or something like that.
Sure, yeah. Good.
Something else would have stuck. That's amazing. All right, Daryl, back to your question. What do you think? I think you know what it is. Is it D then? You're saying it's D?
Oh, who knows what it is. I'm just going to randomly pick D, I guess.
D, you say where the silence has lease or where silence has lease. Let's find out if you're correct in your assumption that that's correct or not. Here it is.
Congratulations.
Too easy.
You're a winner.
Since it's your next episode, Worf and Riker are using Worf's calisthenics program. I hate that word. Program on the on the holodeck. Worf starts to go after Riker. Riker has to yell at Worf to stop. So he had to basically yell uncle. And that's your episode. Nicely done, Daryl. We're short a day this week, but still, strong start to a short week. Daryl is the Trek Nerd on Twitter. You can also find him at This Week in Trek, thisweektrek.com, and the Grumpy Cast. And he has a Patreon. You want to tell people about that?
Oh, yes. For all the stuff I do, if you want to support what I do, and maybe I'll add in some neat things you can get, and like that guy says. Anyway, patreon.com/thetreknerd.
Very nice. The latest episode of The Instance has a throwback, brand new episode of, what is it? Trek Nerd Tips. What the hell is it?
Or it's not Stump the Tip Giver. It's Tip Giver's Tip of the Week.
Tip Giver's Tip of the Week, which he used to do all the time and hasn't done for some years now. And then suddenly one appeared in my inbox, so we put it on the show. So if you haven't heard that, you may want to go check that out. Very nice. Daryl, let's leave now with you playing a game with us. What have you? What do you got? What are you doing? Hello? We lost him? That ain't good. Right then?
I guess
that's no good. That's no good at all. Let's see.
I guess our quiz is this a real disappearance or a Star Trek-related disappearance?
Well, I'll hang up, and then I will call him again. That was bad timing. All right, here we go. Yeah, because we can't, you know, you can't just end. You got to have, like, stuff. Oh, now he's not picking up. Oh, there he goes. Hi. Hello. Oh, he was there for a second and then went away.
All right.
Okay, one more try. We'll give him one more chance, and then there's no contest for us. Hello?
No. Am I allowed back
in? You're allowed. There what happened there? You just disappeared on us. That was weird.
Yeah, it lagged out.
Bad connection. All right. Play a game with us. What do you got?
Okay, Star Trek cookie or actual
Star Trek cookie or actual cookie?
Star Trek cookie.
Your Skype is real bad today. You sound like this. A little bit like that.
Reaction to rezoning the 91st Memorial tonight.
That's about it.
Oh, jeez.
All right. So, go ahead. Try it.
Did we eat cookies today?
Or no, we didn't.
We did not eat cookies
yeah.
today.
Lack of cookie aftertaste in your mouth, that's the cookie we didn't eat.
I can't remember if we had a cookie. Hopefully Scott's Oreos arrived today.
Yeah.
Okay. Star Trek cookie or actual cookie?
Okay.
Alpha Jor.
Alpha Jor. That's got to be a real cookie because it sounds too Star Trek-y to be a fake.
Can we get a spelling?
Yeah.
Alfajor.
Okay. Alpha Jor.
And these could be domestic, international. These could be cookies from anywhere, right?
Here's mm-hmm. my thinking why I asked for the spelling. If it was Alpha, mm-hmm. I'd lean more towards Star Trek. The fact that it's Alfa
yeah.
makes me lean more towards a real cookie.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
It's a Nigerian cookie.
Yeah, it's some kind of weird foreign cookie, I'm sure. Right. All right, Daryl, we say real cookie, not Star Trek cookie.
Okay, this is an Oreo-like sandwich cookie from somewhere in the Alpha Quadrant, and that would be Spain.
They're not in the Alpha. I guess they are in the Alpha Quadrant.
They're all in the Alpha Quadrant.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Nicely done.
Yeah, that was tricky.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news brung to you by.
Welcome to Coincidental Timing Theater. Mm-hmm. Pokemans, a Pokemon parody. Brown is a Pokemans killer who wants to be the bestest Pokemans killer ever. Timing! But does he really have what it takes to be the very bestest? Join Brown on his journey around the I Can't O region, collecting all the gym badges. On the way, he'll need to overcome his rival Poiple, the evil team racket, and his own incompetence. Pokemans, a Pokemon parody, is now available on Amazon.com. That's Pokemans, gotta kill them all.
Yeah, search for it. Also, yes, interesting timing on that one.
If their plan would have gone through, we would not have aired that commercial. But since the plans got thwarted, I feel just fine in doing that commercial.
Yeah, we're okay. It's good. Here's how bad Universal kicked Disney's butt this year so far. Okay, because we haven't had Star Wars yet. That could change things. But the North American box office is on pace to set an all-time record this year. This is one of the biggest years in all history. By the way, can everyone stop complaining that Hollywood is getting dinged really bad by piracy and or the home
right,
market?
Yeah.
Because every year I hear them complain about that, and every year they break all records. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why this is even a conversation. But anyway, they're outpacing last year's $4.1 billion tally by a significant margin. Right now, they're forecasting $4.4 billion by Labor Day. But it's interesting. Universal and Disney are the two that are really winning. Everybody else is kind of not so much. 61% of all domestic ticket sales went to Universal or Disney.
Wow.
And for the full year, the two studios claim 7 of the 10 highest grossing movies, including Universal's $638 million grossing Jurassic World. Bad news for execs at Warner Brothers, Fox, Paramount, and Sony, who have struggled to produce hits through what is traditionally the busiest movie-going season of the year. Fox has pretty much tanked everything they put out. Sony hasn't done well either. It's really sad, actually, to see these other studios not do as well.
No kidding. Yeah, you look at that pie chart.
Mm-hmm.
It's just sad, right? Yeah. Look at that.
Yeah. I mean, Universal's had their trouble in the past, but this year has been killer for them.
Yeah.
They're beating Disney. So, not by much. Star Wars is still coming, but they are collectively smoking everybody else at the box office.
You know, Mad Max had to be kind of a saving grace for Warner Brothers, though, right? I mean, they're in third place.
Sure.
And, San Andreas, Magic Mike, XXL Vacation, Hot Pursuit, Entourage, and The Gallows are all Warner Brothers. So
yeah, all movies that you know have their following and did okay. Like mm-hmm. none of them you'd say were bombs, but they didn't do the kind of money they needed to compete with these top two.
Yeah, no kidding.
Neither did. I mean, Fox has had some actual bombs though. like bad movies that were supposed to be big hits. Like their their Fantastic Four just took a giant shit.
It did. I was surprised. It did recoup its budget. So it cost $100 million and it made $120 million or something.
Yeah.
I don't think that's what they were hoping.
No, I think that's breaking even for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And usually when you're that close to your budget, that means that you're still probably in the red a bit, because there's a lot of incidentals that you're not counting in that.
Right. But boy, Sony and Paramount,
yeah,
you know, Paramount barely got 5%. Sony got 3%.
You know how you would have won this year's movie draft is just bet on those two studios, and just that's how you pick your movies.
Yeah, really.
That's what we should have done. We're last. We're in last place. You know that?
What? We ended up in last?
I think so. Let me look it up real quick.
No, we couldn't have.
I saw it yesterday and we were listed last. Hold on. Let's see.
Let's see here.
I think.
Oh, yeah. We totally were.
Yeah, there it is. Last place.
Barely, though.
Yeah. I mean, respectable.
Those last three.
Yeah.
Night Attack, GFQ, and Frog Pants all within 25 million of each other. So.
Yeah.
20 million of each other.
Yep. I think we could.
Look at those two. I mean, Night Attack and GFQ, like less than a million separating them.
Yeah. A little too close. I think something's up.
Yeah, but Cord Killers, Jurassic World, Longest Ride, but Jurassic World and Minions just really did it for Cord Killers, which is surprising because
they killed it.
That's really almost all on the shoulders of Jurassic World.
Yep. Oh yeah, that movie.
Yeah.
And look, Jurassic World, fun movie, good time, enjoyed it. I don't know that I'd say it's one of the best movies of all. I mean, it's one of the biggest of all time now, but I don't think it's one of the best. Huh. It was all right.
According to Wannabos, we were the highest grossing last place team in the history of the summer movie draft.
Oh, wow.
So there's something to be said for that.
Do you think it's just because this year was just big in general? Like everybody, even the lowest, did well? Yeah, probably.
Well, there wasn't. I mean, Cord Killers did have kind of a runaway. Win, but again, you look at the other five competitors and they're all within 100 million of each other.
Yeah.
So it was a lot, you know, there was a lot closer second place. First place was just far and away. I can't believe how well Jurassic World did. What is it? 639 million?
It's a lot of money domestically.
Wow, it's like, yeah, I mean, Avengers Age of Ultron only got 450 million.
Yeah, you know you got a big head on your hands when you beat Avengers.
Yeah, Minions did 320 million. Okay, there you go.
I also argue Avengers 2 would have done better if it had been a better movie. That's all.
Yeah, I think you're right.
If it was as good as the first one, we would have seen that with longer legs. But anyway. Check this out. I want to move to London. I'm out. I'm done. I'm sick of the States. I'm going to London because now they have sky pools. You have to be super rich to use these, but you can swim through the air.
What?
Check this out. Developers in London are building what they claim is the world's first sky pool, a 25-meter-long swimming pool suspended 10 stories in the air between two blocks of luxury flats.
Oh, would you look at that. Yeah. Holy crap.
Isn't that cool? It'd be a little freaky. That is really cool. At first, it'd be freaky.
Yeah. Could you do that? Would you be okay with that?
Oh, yeah, I'd do it.
Okay.
I'd do that. For some reason, that doesn't freak me out. I hate heights, so you're not wrong to wonder about my heights problem, but I think for some reason, that one wouldn't bother me. I don't know why. I mean, I say that now. Maybe if I got in and saw it, I'd go, oh, wait a minute, I changed my mind.
There's something, I don't know. I mean, that water weighs a lot. And
very dense, very heavy.
But it's going to be, you know, it's not like there's going to be a point at which the middle of that is heavier than the outsides. But,
yeah,
I mean, you know, full moon comes and it, who knows? I mean, you know, it seems like there's something.
What if you had like six fat rich guys in there at once?
Yeah, but again, I think I wonder how that works. Like if you put a scale under a swimming pool that could measure the weight at all the different parts of that swimming pool, if somebody heavy got in and displaced the water up, I wouldn't think that you'd have a heavier point of the water. Right, because
that's interesting. I wonder about that.
The water that was where they are now gets moved out to the sides and balances things out.
That's an interesting idea. I bet you're right. Because you displace water. I mean, whatever you take up. Let's say you take up, I don't know what a person takes up, 500 milliliters of space or whatever.
Sure. 12 cubic feet or something like that.
Something like that. Let's say you do that. Do that pressure, or that pushes the water up and over. But if you're in an enclosed glass structure, though, well, the one thing you can't tell from that photo is can you swim above it? Like, is that all underwater in that little rectangle? Or do you think you can, like, wade in there and there's headroom, I guess is what I'm saying. Is there air and headroom?
Oh, you mean could you stand in the bottom?
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
I can't tell how deep it is.
Yeah, I can't tell either just by looking at this. Well, anyway, Brian, if you want to do it,
The human body's about as dense as water, so...
20 centimeters thick, that glass. You can swim between development's rooftop bar, spa, and orangery. What the hell's that? Orangery? A walkway orangery? That will be available? I guess it's a walkway or something.
Okay. Oh, there's that walkway right next to it. Sure.
Prices for these apartments start at $942,572 U.S. dollars. So $1 million gets you that apartment there. There's a petition right now out and available and online for people wanting to get Jon Stewart to moderate presidential debates.
Love this idea.
And it's gaining serious momentum. And online.
Pull him away from the wrestling business and have him do this.
Yeah, that was pretty funny, that whole thing.
Did you see that?
I saw articles about it and pictures of him on this running around on the mat. It just looked funny. He looks like a little shrimpy little Jewish man. An online petition to get former Daily Show host Jon Stewart to moderate 2016 presidential debates is quickly gaining momentum. Close to 90,000 signatures and growing have signed on at change.org's We Want Jon Stewart to Moderate 2016 Presidential Debate page, begging the former talk show host to come back for one last hurrah. No word on yet whether Stewart is even considering the idea. Reps for the talk show host have not responded to any requests. My guess is he's sort of out of this and doesn't want to do it, but if there is enough pressure, maybe he would, but I would love that. Mm-hmm. He's really good at asking a hard question, having a guest dance around it, and making the guest come back to the question.
Yeah, I think it...
he's good at that.
He is, right.
So I say I vote yes on this presidential deal. He should totally do this. I would think that would be amazing. And also less boring than, like, who are they going to have do it? All right, let's say it's CNN's turn. You're going to have Wolf Blitzer out there? Like, what are you going to do? He sucks.
You know, it's funny. I can never remember who actually does the moderating. You always think about who, you know, the combatants on stage.
they've had guys from 60 Minutes before. They've had dudes do it who are from PBS's NewsHour or whatever it's called. I want to say Charlie Rose did it once. And this last time, obviously, for Fox, they had Megyn Kelly and those two other dudes.
Right, Megyn Kelly, that's right. Tim Russert, Ken from Chicago, is reminding us.
Trump's kind of a dick. You know that? Like, I wasn't... like, he's really mean. Like, some of the stuff he says, which I know we're going to talk about him in a second, but...
Yeah.
He says this. Where is it? Only candidate come to mind. He's always retweeting stupid stuff. Here we go. Rubio and Bush can't stand. No, that's not it. Where's the one where he calls her a bimbo again?
Oh no, really? The moderator, right? Megan.
Yeah. He's so mean. He just said, okay, here we go. Jeb Bush is talking about my border proposal to build a fence. It's not a fence, Jeb. It's a wall, and there's a big difference. He says. Let's see. In a clumsy move to get out of his anchor babies dilemma. Oh, he's talking about Jeb. I don't know where he is. Skip ahead. Oh, here he goes. The Kelly file was much better without Megyn Kelly. Her replacement while she was out on vacation was much better. He then goes on to say, oh, you know what? They got rid of it.
Oh, really? They deleted the tweets?
He deleted the bimbo tweet. Nope, here it is. The bimbo is back in town. I hope not for long. she's come back looking like Nancy Grace. Megan needs to go back on vacation. What a waste of an hour on Fox. I like the Kelly file much better without Megyn Kelly. Perhaps she could take another 11-day unscheduled vacation. She's such a dick.
Wow.
Because she asked him a couple of hard questions. Now
he's called him out. Yeah. Even really called him out, but just like
just asked him real questions, and he's trolling her. Anyway, let's get to that. I have this about him. You want to hear this?
Yeah, let's hear this.
Donald Trump's supporters urinate on a homeless Hispanic man before beating him up. Trump chalks it up to passion.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
Months of dangerously stupid rhetoric. Now, admittedly, this complex.com article is a little skewed against Trump, which I kind of wish they weren't, but
sure.
Whatever. The news on the just the bare naked news without any slant is enough for me to be irritated. But anyway, Donald Trump finally came to their unfortunate inevitable conclusion on Wednesday when two self-proclaimed Trump supporters in South Boston urinated on and otherwise brutalized a homeless Hispanic man. Two men broke the 58-year-old man's nose and severely battered his chest and arms, according to the Boston Globe. Suspects, who were brothers Scott and Steve Leader, reportedly have an extensive criminal record and seem to be proud of their semi-successful attack. Quote, Donald Trump was right. All these illegals need to be deported, Scott reportedly told officers upon his arrest. The men ambushed the victim and said he was sleeping at a bus stop considered by local police to be a racially targeted attack. When informed of the attack later the day, here's the bit, Brian, here's the bit.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Trump didn't exactly condemn the supporters' actions. Instead, he essentially chalked up the entire incident to a potential case of being very passionate. It would be a shame. I would say that people who are following me are very passionate. They love this country and they want this country to be great again. They are passionate. That's all he had to say.
Jeez.
No, you're supposed to condemn this sort of thing, you jackass.
Right.
You want people
right.
beating up other people in your name? I really dislike Donald Trump. I really do.
Yeah.
He's a bad person.
That's all he had to do was just condemn it and say, you know, I don't support this behavior. It's you know, horrible. Whatever, and instead of just saying, well, you know, people who follow me, they love their country, you know, they're
passionate about stuff. It's gonna be huge. It's gonna be huge, he says. Huge. All right, we're gonna take a break so we can steam off a little bit.
Sure.
Before we come back, Brian has music, and when we come back, Justin Robert Young will be here. I guess Bill is out. That's okay. I have a new theme for Bill that I was all excited to play, but we'll save it for next week. It's fine.
Okay.
But let's get Jury in here in a minute. Before that, Brian brought music. What did you bring?
I did. Joshua wrote in and said, hi, Brian and Scott. August 25th is my birthday, and I wanted to request this cover of one of my favorite songs from a video game, Baba Yetu from Civilization IV, composed by Christopher Tin and performed here by Peter Hollins and Maluka. This one's going out to Joshua. So from the album or from the single Baba Yetu, you can find it on Amazon. Here is Peter Hollins featuring Maluka Phoenix with their cover of the Civilization IV song, Baba Yetu.
Baba yetu yetu liye binguni yetu yetu amina Baba yetu yetu liye mjina la poeli tikuzwe
Baba yetu yetu liye binguni yetu yetu amina Baba yetu yetu liye mjina la poeli tikuzwe
Utupe leo chakula chetu Tunachohitaji utusamehe makosa yetu hey kama nasi tunavyowasamehe wale utukosea usituti katika majaribu lakini utuokoe na yule muovu wa milele
Baba yetu yetu liye binguni yetu yetu amina Baba yetu yetu liye mjina la kweli tukuswe Baba yetu yetu liye binguni yetu yetu amina Baba yetu yetu liye mjina la kweli tukuswe
jetu tu na chohitaji utu samehe makosa yetu hey kama nasi tunavyo wasamehe wale watukosea usitutie katika majaribu lakini utuokoe na yule uovu wa milele baba yetu yetu liye jina lako litukuzwe
The automobile is by Duesenberg. The rug is by Corisan. The chair is by Chippendale. The gourmet cat food is by Fancy Feast. In the single serving, you can see just by looking how moist and delicious it is. How much your cat will love it. Fancy Feast. Good taste is easy to recognize.
Invent yourself some underpants.
The Morning Stream. That's my safety word.
All right, we're back, everybody. We are back. That is a good song.
Yeah.
Civ 4 had some amazing music in it. It also had Leonard Nimoy narrated that game.
Oh, really? Like, did the tutorial or something, right?
Yeah, and plus, like, all through it, you'd get to a point in the game where something had to be explained to you. Like, you hit a certain age. Like, 5 does this too, but it's a different guy. Right. And you'll hit there, and it'll go... Oh, the Iron Age was an important thing for the hoo-ha people and the blah, blah, whatever. And it was always Spock doing it. It was really cool.
I never got into any of the Civilization games. I think just because I didn't have the patience when I downloaded one of them to try it or downloaded the free trial or something. Mm-hmm. I don't think I had the patience I needed that day to play it.
Yeah, it's really good. Five and all of its expansions, maybe one of the best games in the last 5 years. Really, really wow. good.
Maybe I need to give it another try.
It's the kind of thing you have to... play a bit to kind of get your head around, and then once you do, it's mm-hmm. you'll lose days to it. You're just like, oh my gosh, where did all the time go? Anyway, hey, we're back, everybody. Hello and welcome back. Let's call Jury. Justin Robert Young, who's out there waiting for us. Getting ready to get married, this guy.
Mm-hmm. Wow, no kidding. Like a little over a week.
Pretty soon, man.
Oh, it's crazy. I can't believe I'm going to Frickin' Dragon Con in a week.
Yeah.
These are their stories.
Oh, I'm terrible with names.
Ladies and gentlemen, the betrothed Justin Robert Young on the line. Hello.
Oh, here we go. Now I can hear you.
Yeah. Oh, hi. Hi, how are you? I hear your bird. You're home.
Yeah.
Lovely.
No, I am. I'm in Oakland. I'm going to start driving, though, in a second.
Oh, wow. Where are you going to?
The airport, so I can fly to Seattle and yell at Bill for making me wake up a half hour.
Oh, perfect.
Really?
Yeah, no doubt, right? Nice. Are you really going to Seattle? What's going on up there? You got a game?
I am. Yeah, no, I got business up there. So
you don't even get to take, like, the week before your nuptials off?
Well, this is the week before.
Right.
The week before. So.
Oh, the week before the week before. Sure, sure.
Yeah. So yeah. I'm
well,
I'm
that'll
still
be,
on duty.
That's fun. So you're not even going to be able to see PAX. That'll be happening, and you just won't even be able to see it. You'll just have to go to Seattle and do other things.
Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
which,
all right.
Which, you know, it's not like I have a card game that would be really nice. If I could
It'd be
PAX,
a
but,
great
you know,
place to have it, too, would be,
it would be.
At PAX. I'll bet people are playing their print-and-go version while they're there.
Well, I actually do get a bunch of press decks, and hopefully I'll be able to get some up there. So if you are going to PAX, then actually it'll probably be Bill. Talk
yeah.
to Bill.
Yeah, talk
I'll
to Bill.
I'll give Bill a bunch of decks, and you can and hit him like the gnome in Golden Axe, and he'll just have a deck pop out of him.
Oh, beautiful. Oh, my gosh. Golden Axe. Like, I used to play a lot of Golden Axe. I love right. that game. Well, good. Well, we're glad to have you here. Sorry about the early time. You've got to have some things on your mind because there's so much happening and going on, and I know that, you know, continuing this Kickstarter while Trump is an idiot is a beautiful thing. But am I wrong to, like, this latest thing with these people beating up people in his name, basically, and then him blowing it off as, my followers are passionate. Doesn't that, how does that bode well for the guy's poll numbers? It can't possibly, can it?
Well, he's kind of demonstrated that he doesn't obey political gravity, for lack of a better words. Like, for as sober-minded as anybody can be about Trump, you know, there is definitely just this undeniable element of his celebrity and the fact that he is very, very, very good at getting media makes him just kind of this white rhino. Mm. The stuff that he says and does doesn't necessarily stick to him in the same way.
Mm. But won't it stick to him in the way that matters in the end? Like, if he's serious about running, like, he'll have this rabid, yeah, he only speaks the truth group who votes for him, but he can't win an election.
Oh, no. But did anybody really think he was?
Well, no, I guess not. But he's just such a disruptive influence. He's like this. I mean, here's my prediction. He gets in this stupid race. He's in it now. He's like double the poll numbers of anybody else, and he's really touting that right now. But we all know that means nothing as you get closer. And then when you get closer, he'll get pissed at the Republican Party for not nominating him or just treating him badly leading up to nomination. He'll get out. He'll run as an independent. And then he'll get a Democrat elected because he'll split the vote.
See, I don't think that's going to happen. Mm. I think everything but the last part. I don't think he's going to run independent.
Really?
He's been threatened. I mean, that's been his big threat lately that he's been levying against the GOP.
I don't think that's his thing.
Yeah. What do you think his thing is? Vice president? Well. Did we lose him?
No, stepped into his car. His concrete-lined automobile.
he's still there, so you just can't hear us, or we can't hear
him. Okay, oh, no, I can hear
back.
You now.
All right. Yeah, we can hear you. We can hear you now. Sort of. It's going so good.
Can you hear me
now? Now we can hear you, yes.
Good.
Before, we were not able to hear you, but now we can hear
you.
No,
I was aware of that.
You're back now. You're in your car, I think, right?
Cool. I'm about to get in the car, but yeah.
All right.
So here's the deal. With Trump.
Oh, no.
This is beep really loud.
Keep going. You're good. Oh, hello.
Oh, hello.
Hi. You're in the Bermuda Triangle or something.
Are you in a concrete parking garage?
What the hell is happening?
Yeah, you just bad fires, wildfires, and drought. That's it.
Well, yeah, I guess that's it. Explains
a lot. No worries. You're all good. Now I can hear you. So let's try this again. So Trump, where were we? I don't even know.
Oh. Yeah, one more time.
All right.
All right. Trump.
Oh, crap.
Oh, no.
Work thing. This is just like a haunted thing. Because I've definitely done this exact segment from these exact places.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Because you're moving from one place to another, so you're getting swapped probably from your Wi-Fi to LTE.
Okay, but that's true right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not true for the last 3 times that I've tried to do this segment.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And I've definitely not been in my car. I'm only now moving in my car, and apparently now it appears to be going swimming.
Yeah, it's going great now. So I don't know, man. The way it's a dark sector of the world. We don't understand wireless. We don't get it. Anyway, you sound great now. So you were firing off again. Then you got cut off. So I'm really anticipating what you're saying next.
Yeah, I don't think Trump's going to run independent.
Okay,
that's my thought.
All right, and give me your reasoning. What do you think? Why do you think he's not going to do that?
I don't think that he wants to do something that he doesn't think he'll win. Yeah. And for a guy who wants to have another 10 years in selling political books and being a political pundit, I don't think he wants to be the guy that got Hillary Clinton elected.
Mm. Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, he doesn't want to go down as the guy who, like I doubt Perot wanted to be the guy that got Clinton elected. And that's exactly how it went. So
but his arrogance is enough for him to say, I could win as an independent, you know, with an independent bid. No other independent
it's probably
candidate
true.
Has been able to say, yeah, no, I don't think I really have a chance, but I'm going to run anyway. He's actually the one who's arrogant enough to believe that he could win.
Yeah.
As an
well, understand that running for president carries with it a price tag of arrogance, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you've got to be... You got to have...
Oh, crap. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi. It's Justin
this
Robert
is going
Young.
Great.
So, never has the word duty in jury duty felt more appropriate than today.
Yeah, just really.
Doing our duty
doing
to keep you...
Serious duty. All right, so...
Well, I mean, also, the good thing about it is that it's really entertaining.
Yeah, it really is. It makes for great podcasts.
It does. Yeah. People love it.
Yeah, people win all the awards next year. So, okay, so you got as far as saying the arrogance comes with the job. I totally get that, but what I'm saying is it's a special brand of arrogance. He's got a brand of arrogance that puts him ahead of Jeb Bush arrogance or Rufio arrogance. It's a special kind, don't you think?
Oh!
It's a very different kind of arrogance, and it's the kind that's so brazen and so who cares. Like, I just feel like he doesn't care. Oh, a Mexican got beat up because of something I said and people are following me? Eh, whatever. What are you going to do?
They're passionate. What are you
going to do? Yeah. If he feels that way about that, I don't know that he feels... It's a little anarchistic. It's a little bit like, well, I'll just take the whole system down if I have to. Who cares? Right?
I mean, maybe. Also, he's trolling you. Mm-hmm. Anybody who is upset by Donald Trump, he is trolling deliberately.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That's fairly clear, yeah. Right? Like, he's... understood that a component of making media is getting people upset. Mm-hmm. And he gets a lot of people upset. And also, part of his brand, which I'm sure he underlines and italicizes, is to, you know, be the guy who doesn't back down. Mm-hmm. Because he sees himself as a warrior in a culture clash that we are too sensitive, and we apologize too much. Mm-hmm. And so he will not do either of those things. He will not, act like anybody has feelings, and he will not apologize for anything he says, if he at all can help.
Right. So, okay. Yeah, I mean, you're probably right, but I just don't... I was enjoying this up to a point. Now I'm just really irritated.
So you're referring to the Matt Taibbi article,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. The Boston thing, the thing that just happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, but that was chronicled in an article, in a Rolling Stone article by Matt Taibbi, who I love. I think he is a great writer, but he's a bomb-throwing polemicist. Mm-hmm. You know, like, his whole, you know, he writes great stuff because the point of it is to get outraged. Mm-hmm. And you read it and you're like, oh my God, this is insane. I need to do something about this. But really, that's just what he does. Mm. You know, he writes these kind of bomb throwing articles. Now, that's not to say that I don't think that there is that Donald Trump is like the greatest guy ever. I don't. Mm. I think he's kind of a nut. But to think that he is arousing some element of inhumanity in America, I don't know. I don't know if I buy that.
Well, there needs to be more than just this incident for that to be true. You know, like, there has to be some sort of sustained evidentiary sort of activity around him to make that true. So it would have to be, you know, him more than once, you know, condoning people doing terrible things to somebody else, yes, because of things he says.
Him calling for the mass beating of Mexicans would be, and then it happening, which that, I'm going to go ahead and say, that's a troubling trend.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Yeah. But he's not doing, in your estimation, that's not what this is necessarily. I mean, this is, you know, if more of this happens, then maybe we can talk. But at this point, this is just a incident. Those guys claim to be Trump supporters. This isn't him really saying one way or the other whether he condemns it or not. But it's not necessarily, you know, a pattern of, you know, of anarchy or of an uprising based on Trump's ideals.
No, I don't think that he is raising a militia of dunderheads to go be idiots to, you know, each other and others that are not of this country. I don't think that's the case.
All right.
But, you know, I think that he is speaking to an impotent rage that I think is more kind of even widespread than I think a lot of people think. You know, I think that there are he is a Republican candidate, and he certainly appeals to Republican ideals. But I think that there is a apolitical sense in this country that, you know, things ain't like they used to be. And they could be better, and we're stupid, and we should have been smarter, and yada, yada, yada. Like, he is kind of appealing to a very base sense of, like, national self-loathing. Yeah. And, you know, and saying the solution is to elect him to yell at politicians, just like you saw on the TV.
Well, he's maybe smart. Did you say the TV? Is that what you said?
I did.
Okay. I like that.
I saw that on the TV.
On the TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I follow him on Twitter, and I've even replied a couple of times.
Yeah.
And that means I'm a sucker for the trolling, I guess.
Right.
Yes.
But something else I noticed was he'll say these very inflammatory things. He'll call Megyn Kelly a bimbo, or he'll say some other terrible thing or whatever to people. And I'll notice that he'll then retweet all these replies he got that were like, that's right, Trump, tell him how it is. The only truth sayer in the political system. This is how we'll fix our country. Woo, right? That's all you ever see him retweet. And he'll do it for like an hour. Like just, he's got some free time between meetings and he just sends all these retweets.
Well, I mean,
how
much of that do you think is him doing it though?
Well, who knows? I don't even know. Who knows?
There is an unhinged element to it that I think it's him. Because I also don't think that he has... there are not a lot of people in that organization, I think, that can tell him no.
Yeah.
Okay. And if he says I run my Twitter,
I want to manage my Twitter account. It's gonna be huge.
He may have have some poor guy that he's paying $4 an hour to do it for him, but he's still telling him to say what he wants to say verbatim. I think that that's true. But one thing I've noticed is, for every tweet he puts out, either a retweet of these other people or his own statements, if you click on him and look at the activity on him, 99% of the replies are these visceral hate tweets toward him.
Oh yeah.
And so it's weird because the impression from him is, oh, look at all these supporters. If you go and actually look at what the activity, if we're just talking about Twitter activity, most of it is like Trump, you're an idiot. Trump, you suck. Trump, you should die. Trump, you should all these things.
Yeah.
It's almost all that. So he knows what he's doing.
Well, I mean, his unfavorables are gigantic, you know. Everybody who doesn't love him hates him.
Yeah.
Which is really the biggest case for why he's not a real threat to win the nomination. But he is, you know, he's got a plan. And I think his plan is to be the power player in this election. And I think he's positioned himself to be the power player in this election. But the only way that can happen is if he endorses somebody on the Republican side.
Yeah.
Because if he runs independent, A, it's him spending a lot of his own money, which I understand he has a lot of money, but that never feels good.
Yeah.
When you just, I mean, like running a national independent political campaign can be, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars of your own money.
Yeah, and reportedly those Koch guys want nothing to do with him, so they're not giving him a bunch of extra cash. Or Coke.
I think it's the Coke.
Coke, not sorry.
Thanks, Dad. you know, the Koch brothers, I don't think that they have an interest in them.
Oops, wrong K name. So they're not injecting a bunch of money into it. So let's just get to a prediction here.
Yeah.
While we have you, who does he endorse if that's how this goes? Because he talks smack about all of them.
Mm-hmm. Yes, no, but he'll come back. And the greatest Donald Trump moment on Twitter was when he congratulated Deadspin for breaking the Manti Te'o story and was just glowing and effusive in his praise. Mm. And Deadspin responded with I think it was a go F yourself. And
we don't need your support.
And immediately he was like, wow, the cowards, idiots, a Deadspin, yada yada yada. Like, he has no problem reversing what he has just said. He has zero qualms. Yeah, so he'll endorse whoever the front runner is. You know, there's gonna come a point where he's beaten. He's gonna make them pay for a lot of his debts. And he's going to say, I don't want to run a political, I don't want to run an independent campaign, which I know I could win, because I believe that this person has the best shot and we all need to throw our support behind him.
And you say it'll be whoever the front runner is. If you had to predict now who the front runner is going to be, who is it?
Oh, this is Jeb Bush versus Hillary Clinton. All right. And the quicker that we all, you know, make peace with that, the better we're all going to be. Like, I don't like it any more than you guys do. But, you know, it's just it's what's going to happen.
Yeah, the Clinton Bush thing I'm not super stoked about. Just because, I don't know, fresh blood, man. Let's get somebody in there like, I don't know.
I mean, we say we want that, but we obviously don't. Like, all we do is keep electing Clintons and Bushes, so.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know. I don't know.
You know, they're the Big Mac and the Whopper of the political world.
Hold on, who's the Whopper?
Oh, geez. Probably Jeb. Jeb was fatter.
Yeah.
He only just got skinnier.
That's true. He thinned up here recently. And you don't think his what's the anchor baby thing is going to pull him down?
Well, here's the problem. Is he kind of used up his, Trump was kind of his divine shield for the press. Like,
Look at you making a Hearthstone reference. I love it.
Oh, dude, man. I opened my 50 packs yesterday. Amazing. The grand tournament is open, aspirants.
Nice.
Ted Cruz has totally got wind fury right now. He's got...
Ted Cruz, I think, all right, if we were going to have all of them be Hearthstone cards.
Then, I love this. Which one is the Grim Patron?
Bernie Sanders would probably be the Grim Patron, you know, because he's doing so, he's multiplying. You know, there's a lot of people that are yelling at you about Bernie Sanders in the same way that the Grim Patron is all like, I'll fight! Count me in! I would say Donald Trump is like King Mukla, you know, like he's just feeding his haters.
All right.
With two bananas.
Okay.
Hillary Clinton is Dr. Boom. Okay. You know, just a potentially lethal force. But everyone's happy to see Dr. Boom if he's on your side. On the other end, not so much.
Yeah, good point.
Wow, I guess, I mean, there's like 20 other Republicans.
There really are. You can't do them all.
Work on that because I think there's a podcast in there somewhere. Yeah. I think there's a recurring political update show that doesn't actually reference any of the candidates except as Hearthstone cards.
I'd love that idea.
Yeah.
I'd love that idea. Like, which cards are
Although
people
I think you probably could do a campaign based on Hearthstone cards.
Yeah.
Like you could build a deck that was... like what you wanted your campaign to be.
Oh, yeah.
This is the only show on earth in which this is a conversation. Right. You are clear on this.
Exactly. Yes.
Like nobody else is like, hey, let's go on a 12-minute digression on candidates as Hearthstone.
Yeah. He's and I love the idea that you could apply some of the thinking of those cards. Like every time another one is played, he gains 5 attack and. Whatever, you could totally come up with ways that that stuff applies to their various personalities. You'd have some real fun
with
it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Scott's making a note right now trying to figure out how to do this with Heroes of the Storm.
Yeah, exactly. Freaking love that game. Well, anyway, it's all good.
But yeah, no, I think Jeb, here's where Jeb screwed up, is that he could pretty much say whatever he wanted, and the press was all getting sucked up by Trump. So literally the only way that he could say anything that was super... like that got him negative press is if he said something that was involved in Trump and Trump had gotten into this anchor baby discussion, which is like, I will say that I think it's a bad move for both Marco Rubio and Donald Trump to move more toward a hardline immigration stance.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was refreshing that both of them had, come out as fairly pro-immigration and you know, actually, like, I don't know, trying to do something realistic about our immigration problem instead of just literally building a sandbar so we can stick our head in it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like he said, the thing that Trump said, and now like it's like, oh wait, the press, we're already here listening and hanging on literally everything that Donald Trump says. So now it's an easy way to engulf Jeb Bush, which they want to anyway.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
Because he's probably going to win.
Yeah, he's probably going to win. Another Bush in the White House. And Hillary's got her own demon she has to figure out. And, you know, it's not hers as an anchor baby's. Hers is weird emails no one can find. And
right, and servers.
Who knew what they knew when they knew it? And
Well, because she's going to play Void Caller. So she's going to have a demon she's going to have to deal with once it dies and summons a random demon from her deck.
You don't think she just goes face?
She might. She might. She might be playing Wind Fury Shaman. Oh, no. Okay, no, it'd be Warlock before. That was a Warlock joke.
It's all right. It was a good one. All lols, everybody. Everyone will get it. Everyone will get it. Well, good. Well, I hope your trip to Seattle is safe and that you have more time to consider the political leanings and happenings as your Kickstarter continues to dominate card games everywhere. How much time
this
we got left?
This is the final week. Mm. I will bug you people. TheContender.us/Kickstarter. It is doing amazing. But we today, I think is going to be the day that we're going to hit 2,000 backers. And as soon as we do, bam!
Wow.
50 new cards added to the base deck. And then at that point, I'm just going to let y'all know, we are going to announce that the final unlock will be 3,000 backers.
Oh my.
And if we do that, 500 card base deck.
Whoa.
So everybody should be really, 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 really excited.
Holy shite.
This is a lot of cards. And we've played, you know, our the press deck that we send out, the print and play deck, like they're only like 100 cards. And like we definitely played that with 87 people last night and played it for, you know, like 20, 30 minutes. And it was super fun.
I'm sure
so
it was.
So a 500 card base deck. Oh, yeah.
That's insane. You guys are just over 100K. Let's get these guys to just over whatever we can. 5 days left on the big campaign.
Five whole days left for the contender. But, it's been very, very, very exciting.
Yeah.
And I'm just very thankful for you guys and for all the Tadpool, because you guys have been so supportive. So thank you so much.
Well, we're all in this big dumb family together, and helping each other out is what we do. It's Justin Robert Young, Justin R. Young on Twitter. Catch him tonight on, you guys are doing a thing tonight, right? A show? Because I'm on it. I think I'm on it.
Yeah, you're on it, right?
Yeah, I'm on it.
So we hear more of this.
Yeah, more of this tonight on the Night Attack show, which I will be on. So looking forward to that. Hopefully my teeth are not literally hanging out of my face by then.
Jeez. Yeah, no, that would be screwed up.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Wish me luck at the dentist. It's Justin R. Young. Bye now. All right, he's out. There you go.
Very good.
Let's do a quick email.
All right.
They're brought to us by...
This week, Jenny Josephson is launching a brand new podcast. Hooray for Garbage Town is all about life as a working stiff trying to make it in movies. Hosts Jackie and Sarah Jean explore the hopes, dreams, and delusions of life as a garbage in Hollywood. And Jenny makes wisecracks just off mic. Check out their first two episodes at hoorayforgarbagetown.com. Their motto, nobody here is fine.
Hooray for Garbage Town. Here we go. Email from Matt, who wrote it.
Hi, Matt.
This is not her Matt Flanagan. This is a different Matt.
A different Matt. Completely unrelated to the previous sponsor.
Exactly.
Mention.
Yeah. Hi, Scott and Brian. I was just listening to last week's TMS PM, and I had to follow up with a couple of points. Number one, the Jurassic World margarita guy is Jimmy Buffett.
I did not know this.
I didn't either. He made a cameo in the movie as the guy who got up to run away from the dino attack with his two margaritas. There is also a Margaritaville bar and restaurant recreated in the park as seen in the film. So now it makes sense. Margaritaville.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I'm looking at the, I was doing a search there and found the photos, and there is Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville, just like on the Las Vegas Strip and in Florida and all these other places.
Amazing.
Not too many photos. You know, there's photos of the kids running away, but there's no photos of there it is right there. Margarita guy. There's a photo of him.
Hmm. I bet a lot of people don't know this either. I think we
Jimmy Buffett, which is great because we had somebody cosplay as that at Nerdtacular.
Yeah, that's why it came up, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, someone definitely went up here your IMDb profile entry. It wasn't me, but I noticed you. I noticed, and you should check it out. We did. We checked it out. I loved it. I hope no one changes it.
cool.
Matt. Thanks, Matt, for that. If you'd like to send your own emails into the show, themorningstream@gmail.com is where to do it. You can leave voicemails at 801-471-0462. You can check our website out. All our links, all our stuff, everything's there. Frogpants.com/TMS. And on Twitter, Coverville, Scott Johnson, and Morning Stream. Our subreddit is frogpants.reddit.com. Lots of activity there. I got mod powers back. We're adding moderators. We're posting stuff. A lot of stuff about instance and professions and Legion, as well as a bunch of TMS questions when people listen to us. So lots of variable frog panty things happening.
So it's not just this. It's everything.
It's everything. So head on over, post, be a part of the community. If you're into Reddit, this is good news for you. So that's, again, frogpants.com or frogpants.reddit.com. I keep saying that wrong.
Well, look at that. There was a discussion on from yesterday when there was no show. Do you have a single favorite episode of TMS? Which one is it? Include the episode number if possible.
Oh, cool. So they can go back and listen. That's nice.
They can go back and listen to those episodes. Yeah, I think your coming out of the colonoscopy days is still super popular.
That was a big one, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think people enjoyed my misery. You might enjoy it later today when I'm a little stoned. They're making me take a little happy pill before I go in for my dental thing.
Good.
So maybe I'll come out of there a little wacky. I don't know.
Oh, where's the... And Kim's not back yet, though, right?
Nope, she got back yesterday. She's here.
She did. Okay, good. So she can record you if need be.
And she's my ride, so she'll have to make sure I survive the day. She's home. Thank freaking goodness. Kim is home. All hail.
Back to real food, people.
All hail Kim being home. That's it. We're out of here. Thank you all for being here. We'll be back tomorrow. Tom, Nicole, the whole schmear will be tomorrow. Tom's back from his little trip, too, so we'll have the whole family back in town. That's it. Let's take our leave by playing more music. Brian brought some. Let's go.
This is a super easy and quick one. Geek Girl wrote in and said she didn't have anything awesome to request, any date-specific reason to request this. She just thought this song was awesome and wanted to share. So this is the band Two Cellos. We've played some of their stuff before, their Cello Wars their cover of Coldplay, I believe, with the piano guys. Luca Sulik and Stefan Hauser playing their arrangement of AC/DC's Thunderstruck. You'll find this on their album Celloverse, which came out this year. It is Two Cellos and AC/DC's Thunderstruck.
Nice. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Here it is. We'll be right back. Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Now, I don't drink poop.
Oh, good. Good.